Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And we're live. Thursday show underway. Lee Kelly is in studio with me. Lee Kelly, for the first time this year, we can say it's game day on the Hoosier Report. Indiana in action tonight, right here on the Big X, by the way, against the University of Southern Indiana. Probably should start with that. I've had a lot of text, a lot of tweets, a lot of people saying, hey, I know it's on your radio station. We can listen that way. We'd love to hear Don Fisher. But how do we get this Big Ten Plus thing? And we've got good news for people. You and I always aren't the most technology savvy and advanced people, but you came into the studio earlier and said you were able to accomplish a Big Ten Plus subscription and are able to watch tonight's game.
Yeah, it took every bit of 5 minutes to do it, and part of that was just double. I even read the terms to make sure what I was doing, so... Very simple operation. If you have a credit card handy, it's all over and done with very quickly. Got a response back from them by email that I am now a member. I can terminate whenever I want and so on. So if anybody's thinking about it and thinking, gosh, if it's really hard or if I have to go through a lot of steps, nope, you don't. It's pretty easy. Even I can do it.
And before I get fired here, we probably should recommend that you buy the Big Ten subscription for $9.99. The way I see it, you can watch tonight's game and the UC Davis game later in November. That would fit within this 30-day window. Then you could cancel it if you didn't want to continue, because I didn't see any further games on Big Ten Plus, although there is some other obviously games from other schools and other Big Ten and IU associated sports and programming on that station. I've had it before. And there is some interest, and it's a student produced as well. So, you know, as a former general manager of WNAS, Lee Kelly at New Albany High School, you student produced me to hopefully have a radio show. So I know that you're obviously for that. But turn that down on your computer or on your smart TV. Listen to the Big X. Don Fisher's play-by-play should sync up pretty close to that, we hope, and you can enjoy the first IU game of the season. Lee, before we go any farther, you've been around sports in Southern Indiana and in New Albany for many, many years. You also got to be around the Romeo Mania really from start to finish. You were going, and you've done this every year. I can remember when I was in school, you go to Scribner versus Hazelwood games many years because you want to get the basketball season started, the high school season, and they normally play the first game out of the gate to kind of kick things off. And so you've seen all of that come together from a very young age, from an IU perspective, from a New Albany perspective. Going into this season, I know a lot of people will say the year that IU was preseason number one. Cody Zeller was an incoming freshman. There was obviously a lot of excitement about that team. But from our part of the state, from I call it far southern Indiana, Clark and Floyd counties, let's say, with a couple of counties tacked on to that, have you ever seen this much excitement heading into an IU exhibition game, an IU non-conference schedule that we have this year?
No, not really. I think you've got to go back to the Bobby Knight years going in, not necessarily his first year, even though I think you had Steve Green that was coming on board from Silver Creek. I grew up with Steve, or we grew up in the same neighborhood. His dad was my driver's ed teacher and scared the heck out of me and so on. But a lot of that second and third year when they had those outstanding teams, even ended up in a national championship, probably should have been two had it not been for an injury with Buckner and Cruz and that team. So this one, though, a different time period, a different era, it's just different all the way around. And this is all going in, I think, five freshmen on this team, and one of them in particular certainly brings a lot of excitement from our area, from Southern Indiana. A lot of people have seen this young man play during his high school career and his AAU career. So they have a vested interest and a lot of background information on Romeo that now is centered at IU. And I think it makes it even more, you feel a part of it more because you've watched him once, twice, 30 times during his high school career for a lot of people, and you feel more a part of it.
Lee Kelly with me in studio, as always, on Thursdays. Let's set the table for this program today, the Honey Baked Ham guest lineup. Segment one, Lee and I will have our Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We're going to talk about the crazy situation at Maryland here in just a second. DJ Durkin was reinstated on Tuesday, fired on Wednesday. Just a crazy situation, really, from the get-go there. We'll talk about that. We'll obviously preview the game tonight, IU in Southern Indiana. And in segment two, we'll be joined, as always, on Thursdays by Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. That segment presented by CC Power Sports. And then I'm excited about this as well. We'll close things out today with an interview with Caleb First, head coach. Caleb is a sophomore at Fort Wayne Blackhawk. He's thought of as the number one player or at the top of the rankings in that class for Indiana Preps. He recently got a scholarship offer from IU. He's had multiple visits down to the campus in Bloomington, and he's definitely going to be a name that we become much more familiar with starting this high school basketball season. So Mark Davidson, he's his coach at Fort Wayne Blackhawk High School in Fort Wayne. He'll join us later in the hour. We'll talk all about Caleb First, his recruitment, what type of player he is. I love to hear from the high school coaches that are with these recruits or potential recruits every day in practice. They've got a great read on their game, especially the young players. They've really seen them come together. They have a great read on what they're doing right at this very moment, why the attention has become to them as a player, and also what they need to do to continue that. Obviously, growth and strength that naturally comes as a player gets older is a big part of it, but development as a player, skill development as a player, is another big part of recruitment and keeping that high major school interested as you move forward into your junior and senior year. So we've had a lot of discussion about Caleb First over the last couple weeks. He got that scholarship offer over the weekend. He obviously is locked in as an IU target, you would think, at least for the next couple of years. And we'll get the chance to catch up with his high school coach, Coach Mark Davidson, coming up later in the program. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. You can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get into some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Want to get to some IU stuff, but let's start first with headline number one, the Maryland situation. DJ Durkin fired, or I should say put on leave, many months ago, back in August, when a player died during a preseason or early season practice, an off-season practice, whatever you want to call it, due to some what appeared to be excessive heat and excessive conditions to be practicing in and to be instructed to do some of the things that he was required to do in practice. I don't know that anyone thought after the process ended that he would be reinstated, although that's what happened on Tuesday. And from the very moment he was reinstated on Tuesday until the very moment he was fired on Wednesday, when the governor and other primetime players, we'll call them, in Maryland got involved and said, what in the world are we doing here? But from the moment he was reinstated until the moment he was fired, just constant on national shows, on TV, constant backlash to Maryland. You could tell right away that it was going to end bad. Players walking out of his meeting yesterday, some, I don't want to call them fights, but some mix-ups in practice, it sounded like yesterday as well, with the Maryland team. And by the way, that's who Indiana plays next. It's not this weekend. It's a bye week, but the following week, that's who the Hoosiers will host in Bloomington. So what a turn of events. Gosh, all this could have been avoided for Maryland had they just not reinstated him after the investigation, but they do reinstate him, and then within about 24 hours or less, he's fired.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were surprised. I was surprised, given the parts that I read when it happened and following it a little bit along the way, the parents talking about the whole situation, and they seem to be very intelligent people who aren't going off the deep end, even though they lost a child. And you know, it was interesting listening to them talk about it and the heartbreak they've had, but how anybody could think this is a good idea in the middle part of the season to bring him back, given the whole situation, is beyond me. I would have loved to have been in that meeting and heard the discussion. I listened to the regents of the university trying to give credence to, hey, this is a great idea. He's, you know, we suspended him. He's done his time. I don't think anybody was on board except the regents, maybe the AD, possibly the president, who has announced his retirement from the university at the end of the school year. So, but how anybody could think this is a good idea and the timing is perfect is beyond me.
Yeah, crazy. Sometimes in sports or politics or news, you see crazy situations that almost automatically have to get reversed by the governing body or the boss or whoever. And this is one of those that, unless you were in that room and heard those discussions about why he was being reinstated by the Board of Regents, it's hard for everyone else on the outside to know, you know, was there something else that wasn't out there? Was there something about this man that, you know, we don't know about, why he deserved his job back? But obviously, no matter what their reasoning was for bringing him back, it was never going to work. So I do give him hats off, because you're thinking, we just reinstated him, we're getting all this national media backlash, now we're going to fire him. You're just making everybody mad at that point. But I do applaud, hey, we made a major mistake, we're going to get rid of him. And I know it took some other people to get involved. But I tell you, that Maryland football team, it'll be interesting to see. It's obviously a huge game. Every game is for Indiana the rest of the way as they try to become bowl eligible. But Maryland, under Coach Canada, who has some IU connections, by the way, 5-3 overall. And I talk about this game for Indiana being a game that they should win. It's the remaining two games on their schedule, Purdue and or Michigan, then Purdue, that are question marks. But 5-3 is what Maryland is. So it'll be interesting to see how this off-the-field stuff shakes them up, at least temporarily, before they play on November 10th. By the way, they are not off this week. Maryland plays Michigan State, then they take on Indiana on November 10th, while Indiana does not have an opponent this week as well. Headline number two today, I mentioned this briefly yesterday, but interesting to see. IU basketball tweets out yesterday a picture of Jerome Hunter wearing the gold jersey in practice. By my count, that means Jawan Morgan has had it 2 weeks, Romeo Langford last week, and what do you know, another freshman for the second week in a row has the gold jersey. And I tell you what, I don't know what the future holds tonight or in the Big Ten season or with some of these freshmen. I feel pretty confident I have an idea what it holds for Romeo. But, you know, for Jerome Hunter and for Robert Phinisee, boy, I like both of their games. I was tickled to death to see them go to Indiana. I think they can be big parts of that program, whether it's this year or not, I'm not sure, but definitely in the future. But you know what? A lot of talk about Romeo that's deserved. A lot of talk about Robert Phinisee. I think he's an Indiana guy. He's from Lafayette. People are proud that IU was able to recruit him out of the Boilermakers' backyard. But Jerome Hunter, he's gotten some real praise, and it's not like anyone, I think, is overlooking him. But he's a guy, when you look at his body, just looking at the picture that was put on with the gold jersey, he's got some strength to him. He's got some length to him. He's got, maybe out of the freshmen behind Romeo, the best body as far as being Big Ten physically ready to play that level of college basketball. So it'll be real interesting to see. I think that we might have some surprises from this freshman class with Romeo and Phinisee and Jerome Hunter all being, I don't want to call them ready to go, but more ready than your normal freshman to go out of the gate to start this 18-19 season.
The thing I like about it are the options it gives Archie Miller. Last year, I thought his options were limited. He would bring in off the bench, or in the case of an injury on a given night, who he could start in their place. I think those options now are beginning to improve greatly for the Hoosiers. Hunter, just one of those options that I think in certain situations, in certain games, and maybe every game, he'll be a player that really steps up for IU, I hope.
Let's take a look at a couple other quick notes here. Tonight, Devontae Green will not play. Race Thompson will not play. Archie Miller confirmed that yesterday in his press conference previewing tonight's University of Southern Indiana game. Also, this is something we'll talk with Alex about. We talked with Jeff Rabjohns about this yesterday, and I'm going to ask you right now, Lee Kelly, when you watch the Hoosiers tonight against USI, they're a Division II team. We had their coach on, by the way, yesterday. Great guy, Coach Rodney Watson. He did a great job talking about the opportunity they have before them to play at Assembly Hall. Also, he gave us a real good rundown on his team, spent some time talking about Chance Coyle, who's had a lot of great battles with Romeo over the year. I recommend you check out the podcast and listen to that segment on SoundCloud or Apple Podcast if you haven't weren't able to catch the show yesterday. But what are you most looking forward to watching tonight, Lee Kelly, in this exhibition game? I think I'll know the answer.
I could lie to you to tell you a lot of things. Romeo Langford. Sure. I want to see the young man play again. It was so much fun watching him for those 4 years. Actually, you invited me to go down with the team for the very first scrimmage they had against Bossy before his freshman season even started.
By the way, I'll cut you off for a second. Jim Shannon will tell you that's the one and only game Romeo Langford did not start for the Bulldogs, that scrimmage at Bossy. Go ahead.
And on the bus right after, you guys had a discussion about, okay, we got to get him in the starting lineup. So, you know, but watching that young man for 4 years, the only thing I missed the next year, I think it was the next year, I had a commitment early in the morning on that Saturday for a scrimmage in the doghouse. He hit a shot from three-quarter plus length of the court. I walked in right after it happened, and all I hear is, oh, you should have been here to see that. So I'm looking forward to Romeo. I don't expect him to score 100 points, but I just love watching the young man play. I want to see how he interacts with the other players on the IU team, because I know how he interacted in high school with different people as he moved up through the class years. So I just want to see the young man play with this group.
You know, I have said a couple times my one concern for Romeo, not about Romeo, but for Romeo this season, is the people that watched him or followed him in high school and think, oh my gosh, he's a savior. He's going to score 25 or 30 points a game in the Big Ten Conference as a freshman. You know, he's a lottery pick. A lot of that's true, but will he have some 25-point games? If I was a betting man, I'd bet he will. Do I think he'll average 25 points a game? No. I think it's really tough for anybody in any situation, any team, to score 25 points a game in the Big Ten Conference as a freshman. So when I say that, I've kind of been maybe tempering some people's expectations a little bit. Someone said to me yesterday, they said, hey, I listened to your show. You always kind of temper the expectations while still giving Romeo his proper dues. But you do realize that we can confirm now with the we talked about this yesterday with the press release that was out, or the game notes that they put out before each game, that we can confirm he had 19 points and 10 rebounds against the Final Four team last season. And that's true. It's Loyola. They're a mid-major, but they're really good, and they still return a lot from last year. They're predicted to be at the top of their conference. So that is a good point. He had 19 points, and I know it was his first scrimmage exhibition. Nobody in the stands. I'm different than what will be tonight and obviously be moving forward, but he's obviously going to be capable of doing some unbelievable things. And I think if you live in Southern Indiana and you're an IU fan and you're already itching for basketball, high school, college seasons to begin, Romeo Langford tonight in an IU jersey is going to be a special moment. So
can't wait.
Yeah,
can't
absolutely. Wait. That's the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights, live bands on Saturday nights. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. And I want to go outside of my little script every day for Hoopsters and give Phil Caldwell a shout-out today. Phil just took a new job at John Jones dealership. He's going to be working in Scottsburg. Phil's one of the best when it comes to cars and vehicles, whether it be new or used. Make sure you look him up. But also want to brag on Hoopsters, and Phil is the owner of Hoopsters and Jeff. If you want a neat hometown atmosphere with IU fans to watch the game, it's really, really cool. In fact, Phil on his phone has the IU fight song, so he'll bring the volume down on the commercials when IU's had a good segment in a game, and he'll crank that IU fight song up, and it'll be ringing through Hoopsters. So it's a great place. They sure have been friendly to the Hoosier Report and to the Big X Sports Radio. Phil is a Jeffersonville guy. Great player at Jeffersonville, by the way, back in his day. Was an assistant coach for a couple of years, helping Coach Luce, and now he's taking on a project as well to lead the Jeff alumni, basketball and others, to try to kind of rekindle some of that Red Devil spirit there. But a great guy, great friend of the show. And if you're looking for a place tonight, you can't find Big Ten Plus or don't want to pay the $9.99, go to Hoopsters. Great food, great drinks, and a really cool atmosphere to watch IU basketball. I always try to get there multiple times in a season. It's one of my favorite places to visit.
And great food. You mentioned it, but I tell you, I love that kind of food. Call it bar food, call it casual food, whatever you want to call it. But I love the food they have over there. It's really, really good. Even if there's not a game on, you're looking for a place to grab some food. Good place to go.
My recommendation, Philly chips. The Philly chips, it's a great appetizer. It can be a meal, whatever you want it to be. But IU basketball, Hoopsters, Philly chips, an ice-cold beverage of your choice, a great night. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall with us. We're all excited about starting the IU basketball season, seeing Romeo Langford in a Hoosiers uniform. We'll talk about that with Alex, presented by CC Power Sports, coming up next. And then we'll talk later in the program with Coach Mark Davidson of Fort Wayne Blackhawk. He's the coach of Caleb First, who just received an offer from Indiana. That and more coming your way next on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday show. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is always our guest on Thursday. And this segment is presented by CC Power Sports. CC Power Sports has two locations serving Indiana and Kentucky. One is in Clarksville. That's the mothership store, so to speak. They carry Indian, Victory, Slingshot, Polaris, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Honda, KTM, Yamaha, Kawasaki, and Suzuki. The Louisville store right off of Interstate 65 in southern Jefferson County, they carry Kawasaki, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Yamaha, and Suzuki. New riders welcome, and of course, racers welcome at CC Power Sports. Alex, it's game day for the first time, at least for fans, to go out and watch the Hoosiers in this exhibition game tonight. Romeo Langford, obviously our favorite topic and one of yours to speak on as well, will be in a Hoosier uniform for the first time tonight. Reading some of your preview coverage of this game and what to watch for on the Inside the Hall website earlier this morning, you write about a good point that even though Romeo's the fan favorite, even though he always gets the loudest response from fans at games, just like he did last month at Hoosier Hysteria, no crowd should ever rattle Romeo Langford given what he went through during his high school years. And I'm not saying he won't play in front of bigger crowds. Obviously, any crowd at Assembly Hall will match or be bigger than what he played in front of in the state championship game. But he's a guy that uniquely is qualified to come in as a freshman and withstand some of the media and fan expectations of a freshman in college basketball at a blue blood and traditional program with fans and a fan base like Indiana.
Yeah, it'll be obviously a new thing for him. It's never, I don't think, an easy adjustment for any freshman to play their first game. And even though this game doesn't count, you know, there will be, I'm sure, some pregame jitters. There is for everybody when they're doing something new. But I think once you know, the ball's tipped and he's out there, it's going to be approached like any other game for Romeo. He's, like you said, been through a lot in terms of just the different things he's seen through his prep career. We haven't really seen, I don't think anybody in the state have as much following as a high school player as Romeo has, maybe since Damon Bailey. So he's used to the attention. He's used to the hoopla. You know, I've seen him play in hostile road environments where, you know, he doesn't seem fazed by anything. Obviously, it's going to be a good, great atmosphere for him tonight playing in front of the home crowds. But, you know, even I think his experiences that he had playing at New Albany and the crowds that Bulldogs routinely drew, I think that's going to bode well for him when he goes on the road in the Big Ten, some of these venues. Not saying he's not going to have his share of freshman moments or games where you say, well, he looks, really looks like a freshman, but I don't necessarily think he's the kind of guy where the moment's ever really going to feel too big for him.
Some injuries that are going to cause a couple of players to be on the sideline tonight. Give us some what you know at this point about those injuries and anything else that might have cropped up here in the last 24 hours.
Well, it sounds like Wante Green and Race Thompson have some, they're being described as nagging injuries. They're banged up early in the season. It's a situation where it's an exhibition game and you probably don't want to risk further injury with somebody, so you hold them out. It doesn't sound like either guy is going to be out for the long term, but there hasn't really been any feel as to how long they could be out. It could be a couple games, potentially, which obviously with Marquette coming up at third game, you want to be at full strength, especially with Devontae Green, who I think a lot of people feel like is going to be the starting point guard for this team once he becomes healthy. But it's you know, we haven't been given much in terms of details. I don't necessarily think either injury is serious. Otherwise, you know, they would, I think if it was something where someone was going to be out for an extended period of time or out for the season, we would be given that information. So I wouldn't expect to see either one of those guys. I think Al Durham's had a little bit of injury problems, you know, to start the season as well. One thing that happens, I think a lot of times these guys go against each other in practice. And really, a lot of times practice can be more taxing on the body than an actual game can. And so guys get banged up. It happens a lot at programs across the country. And I think with an exhibition game, it's better to kind of be cautious and hold somebody out rather than risking further injury. So I think tonight we're not going to see Devontae Green, Race Thompson. Hopefully both of those guys will be back sooner rather than later.
Deron Davis was just starting to round into shape last year when he went down with an injury. The good news is apparently he got in 9 or 10 minutes against Loyola, and somewhere between that amount of time and 3 or 4 minutes more maybe tonight for him. So Sounds like good things happening for that young man.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty surprised. I didn't know what to expect. That injury, I've talked to some people that have gone through that injury, and a couple of people saying that the chance that you can never be the same after that. It's just a really tough injury to come back from. So the fact that he played, I think, 10 minutes against Loyola, and Archie talked yesterday about getting him in potentially 12 to 15 minutes tonight, I think that's definitely encouraging. He's a guy that I'll be interested to kind of see how he fits in on this team. He's obviously not someone that runs the floor particularly well. If you're trying to play up tempo, it can be hard to play up tempo with Deron Davis in the lineup, but against some of the Big Ten teams with imposing front lines and in a more of a half court game, I feel like he can be very, very valuable. So I think it's an encouraging sign that he's actually even playing at this point, and it'll be interesting to see that, you know, the challenge for him is he's going to have to just play through any conditioning problems that he has. It's not like he can, you know, have 6 or 7 weeks here to kind of ramp up. I mean, the games are coming now, and the timing of things when he's able to get cleared was just a couple weeks ago, and he's going to have to kind of power through. So it'll be interesting to see how he handles that challenge. A lot of times guys will have problems kind of with their conditioning if they haven't kind of had a baseline to start with. So that's definitely, I think, the staff's going to keep an eye on. Archie mentioned maybe 2 or 3 minute bursts where you could see him. So I don't think it's going to be a situation where you're going to see Deron Davis playing for prolonged stretches at this point so early in the season.
Alex Bozich is with us, InsideTheHall.com, at InsideTheHall on Twitter, and this segment is presented by CC Power Sports. How deep do you think that Coach Miller will go into the bench tonight? We've had discussions about, really, at least heading into the season, a number of incoming freshmen, a number of returning players that have made improvements to their bodies, to their games. Al Durham is a chief example of that type of description that makes this roster maybe a little deeper than what people thought it might be heading into this season at the conclusion of last year. Do you think we'll see in these exhibition or in this exhibition game tonight, maybe even into some of the non-conference games that aren't as challenging, do you think we'll see a wide list of players used on the roster in these games, these early games?
Yeah, I think a lot depends on how things are going and what the coaching staff wants to get accomplished. You know, obviously you want to get young guys as much opportunity as you can, but also you have to keep in mind that coming up here in November, they're going to play Marquette, they're going to play Duke. They got some tough games coming up, and so there's a balance to be struck between getting guys reps and also kind of working on what you need to in the context of the game, trying out different combinations. I don't necessarily think it's going to be a situation where the guys who are deepest on the bench are going to get a, you know, maybe, you know, 15, 20 minutes. You know, some of the freshmen who I don't expect to play a whole lot could get in, maybe 5 or 10 minutes, depending on how the game's going. But I think for the most part, you're going to see the key guys in the rotation out there getting ready for, you know, some tough games coming up. There's just not a whole lot of time to experiment. And I think the meat of the schedule comes in, you know, we've talked about this depth, and I think it's great to have depth. But one thing, if you look around college basketball, there's not too many situations where teams are playing routinely more than 8 or 9 of their core guys. So there's going to be some guys who are the odd men out this year, how they respond to that and how they kind of react to, you know, to being buried on the bench some games will kind of tell us a lot about, you know, just, you know, their personalities, and I think in how they react, because, you know, Demese Anderson, for example, I think is a guy who could have problems getting minutes this year, and he's used to being the man in high school. He comes to college, and, you know, you're potentially the 10th, 11th, 12th man. That's an adjustment, so... I think it's interesting that they do have a lot of guys, and I think that they are going to have some depth, but when you get to the meat of the schedule, you're playing a team like Duke or Marquette, I think you're going with your 8 or 9 best guys for the most part.
Yeah, you've got 17 names on the roster, and you're talking about 8, 9, or 10 being in some type of rotation. There's the potential for 7 unhappy people sitting on the bench, and you and I have both been around enough at whether it be elementary, middle school, high school, college, pros, that one or two people on the bench that are malcontent with the situation can really cause a lot of problems with the chemistry on a team. You've talked to these young men. You've interviewed them. You know them certainly much better than I do. Looking at their personality and what you know about them, what you've experienced in talking to them, what is the personality of this group of players?
Yeah, I think for the most part, everyone should handle it fine. You've got to be realistic, right, about your situation. Obviously, not everyone's going to be Romeo Langford or Cody Zeller when they are and come in and play those major minutes from day one. Everybody wants to, but for the most part, you look at programs around the country. You know, a guy like Frank Kaminsky at Wisconsin barely played his first 2 years, and by the time he was done there at Wisconsin was, I think, National Player of the Year right there in contention for it. So I think you have to be realistic about your situation. I think this kind of comes in where the coaching staff has to be honest with guys and say, hey, you know, you may not be getting the minutes you want right now, but, you know, continue to work in practice, continue to get better, your number will get called. And inevitably for everybody, at least the scholarship guys, I think there will be a point in the season where somebody is called upon to do something within a game, and you got to be ready to go, right? If you're part of a team, the number one thing has to be winning first. And if that's not your mentality, then, you know, that's not really conducive to a healthy team environment. So I think for the most part, guys are going to be realistic. You know, we obviously don't see what happens behind the scenes, but I don't get the sense that anybody's going to be too bent out of shape, you know, if they don't get the minutes they want. These guys are ultimately competitors. They all want to play. But, you know, you have to understand that there's one Romeo Langford on the team that's probably going to play a lot as a freshman, and some of the other freshmen are going to have to earn their time as the years go along.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, with us Thursdays, presented by CC Power Sports. Stop in to CC Power Sports locations in Clarksville and Southern Jefferson County for parts, vehicle sales, and all servicing needs for street and off-road motorcycles, side-by-sides, ATVs, and personal watercraft. Alex, thanks as always. Enjoy the exhibition game tonight. The season is finally here officially, and listeners, don't forget to check out InsideTheHall.com for all kinds of free IU basketball coverage. Alex, we'll talk with you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Fort Wayne Blackhawk coach Mark Davidson will be my guest. We'll talk with Coach Davidson about Caleb First, one of the top players in the sophomore class of 2021 here in the Hoosier State. He recently received a scholarship offer from Indiana. He's rising on the national scale as well. We want to get an up-close and personal look at his game and his potential with his high school coach. That's next after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back, final segment on this Thursday show, and those that are regular listeners know there's nothing better than hearing from the high school coach of a IU recruit or an IU recruiting target. They are with these guys each and every day in practice throughout the season, in good moments and bad moments. From young age all the way through their senior year, they get an opportunity to see their recruiting unfold, to see their individual skills and game improve, and obviously are great resources to us when they are a target of IU. One of those targets, a young guy, Caleb First at Fort Wayne Blackhawk. His name has been coming up now, even as a freshman, now as a sophomore for Blackhawk High School. And just recently, he got a scholarship offer from Archie Miller and his coaching staff during a recent visit to the campus. We're joined today by Mark Davidson. He's the coach at Blackhawk High School in Fort Wayne. It's Coach Davidson's sixth year at the school. And, Coach, I tell you what, Caleb First gets a scholarship offer from Indiana. The regular season practices begin on Monday. Must be a fun time to be the head coach at Fort Wayne Blackhawk.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, this is always a great time of year. And so, you know, we've been having open gyms throughout the fall, and definitely ready to get rolling on Monday.
Coach, we want to learn more about Caleb. Obviously, he's a name that has been popping up on the radar since he was a freshman. You don't always see that. As he's become a sophomore, the summer before his sophomore year, he received a ton of recruiting interest. His list of scholarships continues to grow. A lot of high major schools, a lot of Big Ten schools involved with him at this point. I'm sure more will come knocking soon. But Indiana offers a scholarship during his recent visit with Coach Miller. What stands out? Obviously, he's a tall player. Obviously, he's a very skilled player for his age, for his young grade. But what stands out to you as a guy that's got to watch this player grow up, come through your system, now enter your high school program for the second year? What are some traits about his game that really has Division I coaches oohing and aahing over him?
Well, he's obviously got great size. I mean, with shoes on, he's 6'10". He's gotten a lot stronger, a lot more athletic in the off season. I mean, the kid works really hard in the weight room. I think what really separates Caleb is his level of skill, and I think sometimes that gets lost because he is so big and so physically imposing, but he really is a very skilled player, handles the ball well, shoots it well, is comfortable facing the basket or back to the basket. He can just score in a lot of different ways. And so, you know, we're expecting big things from Caleb this year.
Mark Davidson, the coach at Fort Wayne Blackhawk, is my guest today on the Hoosier Report, talking about Caleb First, one of the top sophomores in the state of Indiana, getting a lot of national prominence as well. that's exciting to hear you talk about his ability, his skill as a big guy and as a sophomore, because he's got 2 years ahead of him.
Yeah, and as dedicated as Caleb is, I expect him to continue to improve. And, we talk to our kids a lot about being humble and being hungry, and I think those are two perfect words to describe Caleb. He's an extremely humble kid. He knows the hard work that it takes, but he's also very hungry. I mean, this kid lives in the gym and really dedicated to improving his game.
Coach Davidson, as far as your team goes, I know Blackhawk, a talented program. You've got additional players that are exciting to you, I'm sure, beside Caleb. But as I look at your schedule, you guys get started later this month, right out of the gate against the 4A team, Fort Wayne North. And as you go down game by game, you guys obviously, as a 1A school in Fort Wayne, do not shy away from playing anyone, even the big boys. You play a number of 4A teams. You play a lot of 3A teams as well. You'll play Brownstown Central in a tournament, which is a school from down near our way, who's been very good over the years. Not afraid of competition, and that's only going to help Caleb and the rest of your team, I'm sure.
Yeah, we think it's an advantage for us, for the fact that we are an independent school. We do not belong to a conference, and so we'll play anybody, anywhere, anytime. The Summit Athletic Conference here in Fort Wayne, we play all of those schools, with the exception of Carroll, who we're trying to add. But we've added Marion this year. We added a game in Chicago on Martin Luther King Day against Chicago Orr, who is fresh off of back-to-back state titles. And so we always want to push our kids in the regular season in hopes that come March, that's going to pay off for us.
Mark Davidson, he's the head coach at Fort Wayne Blackhawk, head coach of Caleb First, who received a scholarship offer within the last week or so from IU, even though he's a young player. Sima State a year ago, you guys were in the Final Four of Class A basketball. Of course, Caleb, a freshman during that run. Tell us, in addition to Caleb, other players that are noteworthy, other players you're expecting to contribute. I'm sure that you have your sights set very high after reaching that Sima State round a year ago.
Yeah, we do. You know, we graduated a lot, but we also like the group that we've got coming back. And so, obviously, Caleb, and then my son Frankie is a 6'6" wing player, and he's had some Division I and Division II interests from schools. So we'll really kind of build the offense around Caleb and Frankie. And then we've got some role players that I think fit in pretty nicely around those two. And so I think we've got a chance to be special.
Mark Davidson, the coach at Blackhawk High School in Fort Wayne, is our guest. Getting back to Caleb for a moment before we let you go, you mentioned some interesting things about him. As you go as his coach through the recruiting process, you get to interact with a lot of coaches. There'll be a lot of things, trips and things like that, where he'll get to see the campuses. It seems like for a young player, he obviously has an involved coach, an involved family, because they are making sure he gets out even early in this process to see Indiana. I can think of multiple times that he's been on campus already in an unofficial visit format. He's been to other campuses as well, and I know he's got some additional visits planned. He's been able to get out on their own and see campuses and meet with coaches and kind of get a jump start on this thing. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I think that's all going to pay off for Caleb in the long run. And he comes from a wonderful family. They've been in our school for a long time. And so, they are very involved in his recruiting process, but they're also, enough to stand back and allow him to just enjoy the experience. And so I think for Caleb, these are all just wonderful experiences, and I think he is cognizant of how fortunate he is to be in this position, and I think he's just going to enjoy it for the next 3 years.
Coach Davidson is his head coach, somebody that has known him for a number of years already and has his sophomore, junior, and senior season still to work with him. As many good things as you've told us about Caleb, all of his skills, his height, his length, what are a couple things that you'll be encouraging and working with him on, knowing his potential to play Division I basketball and to play it at a high level? What are a couple things you'll be pushing him to do, to improve on, to work on perfecting here over the next few seasons?
Well, leadership is going to be part of his role. And last year, as a freshman, I think he would defer a little bit to our upperclassmen. But we've challenged Caleb, and that his days of deferring are behind him, and we really want to see him grab the bull by the horns and take on more of a leadership role. He's a little more of a quiet kid off the floor, and so you know, we're trying to challenge him when he steps between the lines to make sure he's being loud and he's being vocal. And I think he's a much more confident player right now than he was a year ago. I just think that's kind of come with his experience, and also physically he's getting stronger, and I think there's been just a real boost in confidence that's kind of accompanied that. And so, you know, I'd say leadership and just being loud when he steps out of the floor are a couple areas we're looking for a lot of growth from Caleb this year.
Coach Davidson, I'm curious, have you had much conversation with Archie Miller yet about Caleb? And if so, your thoughts, not specifics, but generally about his interactions with you and high school coaches in the state as he tries to build a real recruiting base in the Hoosier State, continue to build on the momentum of landing a Romeo Langford and perhaps a Trace Jackson Davis and others in the 2019 class?
Yeah, we did have the opportunity to meet Coach Miller. Very impressed. We've interacted with Coach Ed Schilling as well, and just been extremely impressed with all the folks there at IU, and I agree with you. I think they got a lot of momentum going. I think that program is on the rise, and so I know Caleb was thrilled to receive that scholarship offer.
Mark Davidson, he's the head coach in his sixth year at Blackhawk High School in Fort Wayne. Coach, you're going to have a fun team, as you well know, to lead these next few seasons. And by the way, his team plays at North Davies, which isn't real close to our immediate area, but a great holiday tournament there. They'll take on Brownstown and play three or four games in southern Indiana. So we'll look forward to maybe catching up with you there and talking later in the season regarding Caleb and his progress. Best of luck. Enjoy this great time of year. We'll be following your team down here in southern Indiana, Coach.
Hey, thanks, Matt. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Mark Davidson, our guest coach at Fort Wayne Blackhawk. What a fun team he has this season. In addition to Caleb, it sounds like he's got some other talent to work with as well. Lee Kelly is back with me as we close out the program today. Lee, you and I are gearing up for a little different challenge on Friday night. We've had the studio side of things every night so far in high school football this season. We'll still have our kickoff show at 6 o'clock Friday. We'll still have the scoreboard show at the conclusion of high school football on Friday night. But you and I will actually be out at Paoli High School. Providence, what have they won, 9 or 10 in a row? And they will take on undefeated Paoli on Friday, which should be just a terrific sectional championship game. Providence, of course, is our only local team still alive playing football on this weekend of sectional championship. So very much looking forward to that trip with you.
Yeah, we've done baseball, we've done basketball, we've done a lot of things together, but I think this is our first football broadcast together. Looking forward to it.
And absolutely, we'll be with you Friday at 6 o'clock, the kickoff show. We'll have a preview of all the big games on both sides of the river. It is worth noting that Louisville and Kentucky begin their playoffs this week as well, so we'll have that to talk about in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll also have scores and highlights, coaches and media interviews at the conclusion of the game. We'll be doing all of our broadcast on remote from Paoli on Friday night, so we'll see how that challenge goes as well. But very much looking forward to it. Providence, an opportunity. I tell you what, Paoli's undefeated. That's strong when you're undefeated. You've made your way through a high school football undefeated. But I'll tell you what I think about Providence. I think they've got a really good chance to be competitive. I think they've got a really good chance to win it. And a lot of that, and we'll talk more about this Friday, but a lot of that has to do with Larry Dennison's scheduling of New Albany and Floyd Central right out of the gate. And toward the end of the schedule, he's added Milan and Linton Stockton. I know they haven't necessarily been the same Milan and Linton Stockton at the same level they have been in recent years, but Linton Stockton has been a very dominant football program. So I think that scheduling will help him get prepared for what lies ahead this weekend and perhaps in future weeks in the football postseason tournament as well. So look forward to being out there. That will be a lot of fun. Lee, IU tonight, college basketball is back. A lot of games forthcoming. Of course, next week, Indiana plays again, but you also have a lot of the big early season college basketball games. I think at Kentucky, Duke, and Michigan State, forget who their opponent is, but the doubleheader in Indianapolis, which will be fun. And there's so many good games right out of the gate to kind of build the interest and get things started with a bang, and that's exactly what will happen next week. So we've made it. You've helped me get through Thursdays. thanks to other great guests, we've been able to get through and hopefully provide good content leading up to the season. But basketball is back. High school ball starts Monday on the boys' side. Just a fun, fun time. This is the time of year where show prep's a lot easier. I'll just put it that way.
A lot of things are going on. I've never seen the masses of IU fans with the excitement around our area, people that I run into every day, like I have this year.
Yeah, no question about it. It's going to be interesting to follow, and I think tonight will be the first of many wild environments at Assembly Hall for an IU basketball game. That'll wrap up the program today. Thanks so much for being with us. Don't forget, if you miss a segment or a full show, you can always find us on SoundCloud and on Apple Podcasts. On SoundCloud, you can download the free app or just point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. On Apple Podcasts, you can search for us, The Hoosier Report. If you would, leave us a rating and a review. That'll help us reach others that might be interested in a radio show and podcast about IU sports and things here in Southern Indiana. Have a great day. We'll catch up with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Tomorrow, Jared Morris of Assembly Call will be with me, presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll recap everything that happens tonight in the IU-USI game. We'll also have Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star to preview the high school basketball season and more. By the way, before we get out, if you missed Rodney Watson of University of Southern Indiana, we had a great interview with him on yesterday's show about the opportunity to play at IU tonight and his roster for this season. Check it out on SoundCloud or Apple Podcasts. Have a great day. We'll be back with you Friday at 11 o'clock right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.